Summer in Sodom. Chapter 4. Frantically, Ted reached for Eileen and pulled her roughly away from the dazed figure of Ian. He turned around, surprised to see the crowd melt so quickly away. A police car, spotlight blinking, appeared at the entrance to the park. "Let's go," he urged. Eileen resisted. "Get Ian," she cried. "I don't want to leave without him." Ted saw the door open on the squad car. He reached down, grabbed Ian by the shoulder, and lifted him to his feet. "The police," he said hoarsely, directly in Ian's ear. The word police galvanized Ian into action. His eyes snapped open in fear, and he sank back with them into the shadow of the arcade. They waited there until he caught his breath, and then together they moved stealthily through the shadows until they reached the other side of the building, away from the scene of the fight. In the distance, they could hear the officers talking. Ted peered carefully around the corner. Jerry was now on his feet, shaking his head groggily. As Ted watched, the officers walked him toward the waiting cruiser. "You're in trouble," Ted whispered to Ian. "They're taking Jerry away. He'll tell them you were the guy that flattened him. What if he presses charges?" "He won't," replied Ian firmly. "No matter what I think of the bitch, I know he doesn't want to mess with the law any more than I do." Ted was dubious. "I hope you're right." He became aware of Eileen shivering at his side. Instinctively, he put his arm around her and drew her close. He looked at Ian coldly. Eileen's concern for the youth only served to increase Ted's jealousy. Now that Ian seemed recovered from the fight, Ted found his own apprehension fading. His sympathy turned more and more to Jerry. He almost hoped that Jerry would put the finger on Ian. Ian stared ruefully at his ripped trousers and torn shirt. Then he looked at Ted and remarked, "I had to charge you for these." Ted frowned suspiciously. "What do you mean?" "Someday I hope you'll understand, but I promise not to tell." Ian looked pointedly at Eileen. Ted remembered the furtive conversation between the two earlier that evening. As events proceeded, as words mounted, Ted's confusion was steadily increasing. He recalled Eileen's promise to explain on the way home the mystery so obviously being kept from him. Now that he felt that it was imperative for him to find out what was going on. "We'll walk home along the beach," he said to Ian. "I guess you've got your car." He wrapped his arm around Eileen's waist and urged her away. "Try not to get in any more trouble," he called sarcastically. As they walked down the sandy road toward the lake, he was aware of Ian's eyes on his back. The clouds had drifted away. The night was clear and moonlighted. Waves lapped kitten-like upon the shore. Ted and Eileen walked for a long time in silence, each deep in thought. Ted bent down to pick up a piece of driftwood. When he stood up, Eileen was suddenly very close to him. Immediately he could taste in his memory the heady richness of her lips pressed moistly against his. She moved to him, anticipating the quick, urgent desire which flowed upward from his loins. Her arms were about him, locking the rigid framework of his body to the sweet, soft contours of her own. She moaned into the kiss. Hot sparks of sensation coursed through him at the ground. They separated, and he looked into her warm amber eyes, amazed at the lazy, willing sensuality he saw. He tried to look away, but her hand touched his cheek, drawing her eyes back to him. He wondered how many times Ian had looked into those liquid eyes. His lips somehow formed the words, asking the question. "Don't talk about Ian," she whispered. "Not now. Just kiss me again. Hold me." Ted clenched his jaw stubbornly. "Why did you try to save him from the cops?" Eileen's eyes opened in surprise. "I didn't. I was just suddenly terrified that he was going to kill that boy. I went berserk. I just had to stop him," she shuddered. "How could all those people just stand there?" Her voice broke. Ted felt foolish. Once again, he reached out for her, drawing her close to him. But in the back of his mind, a tiny, hard core of suspicion still lurked. He didn't know everything that was going on. But then he was stopped short by the hot flick of her lips upon the smooth skin of his neck, a gentle, persuasive touch that brought his lips down on once more to find hers. This time, her entire body moved into the kiss. Her hand reached up to touch the back of his neck, and an involuntary shuttle rippled through his massive musculature of his shoulders and back. His body was inflamed by her touch. He was immersed in a cauldron of fire as her hands seared into his skin, as her breasts thrust hard against him, as her thighs surged into the hardened muscles of his own legs. He reached impulsively for the hem of her skirt, brought it riding up the silken columns of her legs, testing avidly the softness, the cleanly rounded shape, the heat from her flesh pounding back into his exploring fingers. Her stance widened, her hips rotated against his in an agony of pleasure. Then they were on the ground against the cool sand, rocking wildly together, locked in a feverish embrace beneath the yellow moon, oblivious to everything but the screaming demands of their flesh. His hands found the buttons of her blouse, the clasp of her brassiere, and then her full, ripe breasts were in his strong hands. With a will of their own, sensitive fingers stoked and kneaded the resilient flesh, careening across the tanned plain beneath, moving deliberately in the long, exciting strokes of mounting passion. His head fell back upon the sand. Her eyes were glazed pools of desire in the moonlight. With a groan of pleasure, he felt her hands upon him, sending spirals of excruciating sensation to the very center of his being. Her deft fingers moved upward across the taut ridges of his abdomen and chest, slid beneath the thin sport shirt, twisted the buttons, parted the material. The night breeze flicked over his chest, but then Eileen's body eclipsed the moon and the twin spires of her breasts crushed eagerly into him. She was wild with passion, an atomic-powered snake writhing against the tense leanness of him. Her own soft flesh, burning into him with the white heat of desire, choked his breath. The quivering softness of her skin, molded to exciting new shapes in his fingers, drove Ted to a frenzy of hot, pulsating need. She guided his hands to the wisp of silk about her lyre-shaped hips, and then suddenly she was vulnerable to his stallion attack. He moved to turn her, knowing now that he must possess her completely, search out the deep, warm recesses of her body. But stubbornly she clung to him, refusing to receive his aggression. Dismay mingled with his passion and his hard, driving need. He wanted her desperately, the way he had always heard it should be. He couldn't understand her refusal to submit, the writhing, stubborn insistence upon this strange new posture. His eyes closed, and his muscles bulged in hardened curves throughout his magnificent body as he fought against the unnatural demand she was making of him. She rolled upon him, striving desperately to impale her fevered body on his sabered manhood. Wild visions careened through Ted's mind, visions of the last time with her, visions filled with passion, her gentleness, her willingness to relinquish her sweet, wanton flesh to him, then terrible visions of his mother's face, his mother's voice, severe, condemning. From far away he heard Eileen's tortured gasp, "This way, Ted! Let me! Oh, Ted, I want you! Don't fight me!" Again he strained to resist her, not knowing why, only sensing that this was terribly wrong. Then, with sickening revulsion, a new thought crashed into the mist of his desire. This was something Ian taught her. His head swam, his stomach lurched at the thought of Ian's fingers caressing his satin flesh, Ian's mouth burning fiery paths of desire into the soft, warm body that was meant to envelop him. Ian knowing the intimate musk of desire that swirled about him. His body went rigid with disgust. His eyes closed. A new vision erupted suddenly, a terrifying phantom of Ian's hard-hewn body bearing his mother's stern, frowning face. A gigantic sob heaved from his chest. Suddenly his hands were upon the softly rounded contours of her shoulders, desperately pushing her from him, digging cruelly into her skin in a frenzy to push her away, to rid himself of the clinging evil of her naked flesh, hot and writhing against him. She cried out with pain, and then fought him, a wildcat, as if the pain increased her excruciating need for him. She was everywhere, her arms, her ripe, spongy breasts, her flint-tipped nipples, her soft, slithering thighs, mashing into the tightened muscles of his body, smothering him with her need, relentlessly demanding that he submit to her desire. His hands tangled in her hair, slipped downward, squashing her breast cruelly inward as he reared back against her frightening, persistent assault upon his body. Suddenly she went rigid and cried out. Her hand touched him boldly, intimately, as great sobs wrapped her body. Then she went limp and collapsed against his chest. He lay tensely, feeling her tears warm and liquid upon the smooth skin of his chest. I didn't want it to happen that way. I didn't. I wanted to show you. I've waited all year! The words spilled hysterically from her between long, breath-robbing convulsions. Still, he lay rigid beneath her, clinging at the touch of her, terrified by the violent outpouring of emotion that showered from her, drowning him in guilt and an overpowering feeling of inadequacy and failure. "What's wrong, Ted?" she whispered, anguish in each word. "Why didn't you? Why couldn't we? What's wrong with you? Do you hate me?" Her words stung him. Did he hate her? Did this sudden revulsion that still churned within him mean that he hated her? His Eileen. Eileen, whose vixen body and sweet, pouting lips had tormented his waking and sleeping hours for the long, stagnant winter. How was it possible? How could she be right? Was there something wrong with him? He barely knew when at last she stirred and moved away from him. Involuntarily, his tightened muscles relaxed. A damp chill replaced her huddled warmth. He opened his eyes and looked up. She stood above him, looking at his sprawled, naked body. He saw the hunger in her eyes again and looked away. Her voice was still husky when she spoke. The words sank into the fibers of his mind slowly, seeped into every cell of his body, expanded within him until her words were all that existed for him. "I love you, Ted. When you're ready for me, when you really want me, I'll be waiting." She heard the whisper of sand beneath the soles of her feet as he walked away, and he felt his life was poised, waiting in a momentous transitional coda. For a long time he lay there, open upon the damp sand, his skin and bones chilled by the dank breeze blowing from the lake. There was a throbbing ache of unfulfilled tension in his loins. Mechanically, he reached down to cram his aching body back into the constriction of the tight slacks, wincing as the cloth bulged over him. He pulled the zipper up partway, leaving a deep V of flattened abdomen exposed above the strange, pouched material. His mind was in turmoil. He thought of Eileen's parting words. Even now they reverberated within him. He was a failure as a man. For the second time he had brought them both to a fever pitch of desire, passion stinging through their flesh, and then, for some terrible, frightening reason, the visions had come once more. The macabre specter of his mother's face sweeping away the mist of his passion, leaving him limp and unfulfilled. Once again he heard Eileen's tortured words. "What's wrong with you, Ted? Do you hate me?" His vacation was turning into a nightmare of frustrated desire, secrecy, suspicion, and jealousy. Suddenly, he was aware of a splashing sound on the tranquil surface of the lake. Ted raised up on one elbow and stared out at the moonlight pathway upon the water. Several yards offshore, the water was churned into foam. He strained to make out the identity of the swimmer. For a long moment, the clean strokes of the swimmer ceased, and the quiet night returned. More curious than ever, Ted sat upright, watching the point where the white foam had disappeared as the swimmer dived beneath the surface. He was startled when the water churned once more just a few yards offshore. A tall, broad-shouldered silhouette rose from the hip-deep water and began striding toward the beach. Toward him! Ted flattened himself against the sand once more, hoping that the nocturnal swimmer would fail to notice his body against the dark sand. But the fickle moon betrayed him. It broke once more from behind the shred of cloud and painted the beach in golden light. The figure at the edge of the water was silvered with the soft luminescence. Ted stared as the face turned toward him. The swimmer was Ian Raymond. Not for a moment, Ian stood at the water's edge, a statue of Neptune carved in moonlight against the sweep of beach. His long, sculptured legs were widespread. His body shone with wetness, highlighting each perfect sinew of voluptuously muscled youth. A shocking white bikini brief slung precariously to his hips, accentuating his golden body. His face was partly in shadow, partly lighted by the moonlight, transforming his features into a mask of incredible perfection. Ted found himself awed by the godlike physique, the powerful stance, the clean iron grace of this moonlight Adonis. Suddenly, Ian's face turned. Despite the distance, Ted felt the velvet black eyes penetrate the very essence of him, forcing him to stare back hypnotically. A smile curved the corners of Ian's full, sensual lips. He stared across the sand toward Ted. Then, Ian was standing above him, forcing Ted's eyes to travel up the long columns of his legs to the vortex of the protruding bikini. Ted felt a tingle begin within him, a strange feeling of apprehension and warmth. Ian's eyes roved over his sprawled figure with bold candor. He placed his hands on his hips, thrusting his flattened abdomen forward. Ted was unable to draw his eyes away from the flagrantly sensual body towering above him. Finally, Ian's voice, low and intimate, broke the tense spell. "I looked for you back at the place. Eileen said you were still on the beach. You two have a fight." Ted was surprised to find that his throat was dry, his voice thin and hoarse. Not really. She didn't look very happy when she came in. In fact, I think she'd been crying." He sprawled out on the sand beside Ted. Again, his eyes probed intimately. "You wouldn't do anything to get her into trouble, would you?" Ian put his hand lightly on Ted's shoulder. "Don't worry," Ted stammered. Ian's nearness, Ian's confidential touch, almost a caress, disturbed him. The warmth he felt began to center in his loins. He had a tremendous desire to ask Ian what was going on between Eileen and him, but somehow the words would not come to his lips. "I think a lot of her, you know," continued Ian, "in a sisterly sort of way." His long fingers slid over the swollen bicep of Ted's arm. "You're quite a good-looking guy," he continued. "Your body could have quite an effect on a girl. You get steamed up some night, and there could be a lot of trouble later on. A body like yours has to be used carefully." His face was perilously close. Ted looked up to see the long lashes, diamond-flecked with water droplets. For a long moment, Ian held his eyes. His hand slid slowly, tentatively downward, rippling the thin layer of smooth skin across the hard bands of muscle. Ted tried to pull away, but Ian's persistent fingers followed his move. Ted found that he was fighting a smoky, lazy sensuality which threatened to overcome him. Casually, Ian insinuated one long leg close to his. Ted felt Ian's cauldron warmth against the contrasting, cold, damp sand. Again, he tried to move away, but to his surprise, he found his will to escape was waning. Ian chuckled softly and took Ted's hand. "You're freezing," he whispered. "I've been swimming, and I'm not nearly as cold." He brought Ted's hand to his chest and moved it down over the flattened planes of his abdomen. "I'm warm." "Aren't I?" he whispered. Sudden terror choked Ted's throat. His breathing became ragged. He felt a searing shiver roll through his body at the first contact with Ian's fiery skin. He tried to pull his hand away, but Ian tightened his grip. The impulsive gesture only brought him closer, twisted him on his side, and he felt Ian's naked thigh sear into him. His blood began to pound at the nearness of Ian's face, at the magical, silken touch of Ian's magnificent body beneath his captive hand. An insane exultation tore through him, a soaring sensation of stallion arousal as Ian moved closer, forcing Ted's arm about the slim isthmus of his waist. "Don't fight it," whispered Ian. "There's no use fighting it. I fought that bitch Jerry for you, and I won. You're mine." But his words made no impression on Ted. Instead, Ian forced Ted back onto the sand. His fingers traced the V'd outline on Ted's abdomen, and then Ted gasped with sudden, excruciating pleasure. Involuntarily, his arm tightened. Then the lashes blurred in his vision. Ian's body was everywhere about him, creating a volcano of red-hot coals of desire which skyrocketed him upward. Impaled on spear of endless, relentless ecstasy, he felt himself careen through space. Every nerve and clamored with frantic delight, every fiber responded to this new, hard-driving need. He shot wildly toward the stars, brushed against their white-hot luminescence, dived crazily downward through the fantastic heat of spatial friction, shuddered, then careened directly into the fiery tail of a soaring comet which carried him up, up, into the sudden explosive heat of secret midnight sun.